Mother, could we now talk about Grandma? And she worked for this Mr. Blakey as his dentist's nurse with all the horror of blood and teeth. And when did she meet Granddad? Do you know anything about that. And you knew, and he was a shoemaker all the time, was he?
Well, yes, he was when she knew him, yes. Mm-hmm.
And when did they get married?
Oh, that's what I don't know.
This would be about 19, just almost the turn of the century, I suppose.
Yes. Cliff was 7 years older than I am.
Really?
7.5 years older than I am.
And I wonder how long they'd been married before Cliff had
been. Oh, I think about a couple of years or something.
So he would have been born in 1904, so they must have been married about 1902.
Yes.
Or even he'd be born in 1903, wouldn't he?
Something like that.
And then, so that was your dad, was a shoemaker.
Yes. And he made a lot of shoes for people. I always remember making shoes for people with one leg short from the other. There was no orthopedic department in those days.
Mm.
But he was very gifted at doing that. But it was...
And club feet wouldn't be
gifted. Yes. No. You see, there was a lot of people you'd see that would get around with those sort of things. And Granddad knew he used to make shoes.
And he earned his apprenticeship at one place in the league, because I've heard the name.
Oh, no, I wouldn't know.
Murray's.
No, dear. He was a bootmaker in the living room.
So was it an apprenticeship to do that?
Oh, it is very necessary.
It was a skilled job.
Is it still an apprenticeship?
I guess not, Joan, probably because it's a bit of a lost art these days. He was selling
it all. Yeah.
Familiar with leather? Where did he do it? Did he have did he do it at home, or did he have a...
Well, he had a shop latterly, but then before that he worked in a factory.
Right.
Mm.
So then he got his own shop.
Yeah.
He
lost his job in the Depression years. He opened in the
Caversham.
Mm. So he lost his job in the factory. Yeah. And was that difficult?
No, he was a good workman, and I mean he mended shoes for everybody in the meeting, I think.
Right.
So that was just there on the main South Road, wasn't it?
Growing industry.
That was the other story that Mum said one time. This guy came down right in the middle of winter and he wanted his shoes repaired. So he took his shoes off and he had metal pedals on his bike right in the middle of winter. Gave them to your father, biked home, a real cold day, and he arrived there first thing in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, his shoes were repaired, put them on and went to work.
Yeah, they only had one pair of shoes. That was Depression years, And when Dad died, the number of letters that I got, old Mum and I got, thanking us for it, and they all said, if it hadn't been for Mr. Muir, my children would have gone with shoeless to school.
They only
had the one pair of shoes too, and Granddad would patch a bit onto them. I remember Dad saying that some of those shoes that I mended, they weren't worth mending, but it would keep a kid with a pair of shoes on his feet in the middle of winter.
Yeah, but, and then so he managed to cope through the Depression. In the growing industry of shoe problems.
Did your father lose a lot of business in the Depression years?
No, he really built up his business then in the Depression years, because, I mean, he did such good work. People came from so far to...
And also getting shoe repairs.
Shoe repairs would be a vital
industry.
Yeah. He worked very, very hard. He no doubt prospered, but he took it... It was hard work that did it.
So he'd obviously be there early in the morning,
morning.
7 o'clock.
Mm. Well, 6
and where did you live? What was your address?
We lived in number 4 Easter Crescent.
But before
lived in Belnow's in Carnarvon Street.
I don't even know where Belnow's is.
Belnow's up on the hill.
Above Caversham, isn't it?
No, you go up the High Street extension line.
Oh, yes.
And it's up on the top there.
And you remember that?
Oh, I can remember that quite well. We used to walk, seemed to be an awfully long walk from the top of the trams when we get down the hill.
And he heard of Mr. Crescent for
some. Well, yes, we were living there anyway, and they decided renting. That they were going to come off the. No, it was his home house.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And I can remember them deciding that they wanted to get off the hill because it was a long walk from the tram, and we thought we'd rather be not on the flat in Dunedin, but sort of somewhere else anyway, somewhere about there. And Grandad put the house on the market. And within a week, I think, the house was sold.
So we had nowhere to go.
And we had nowhere to go. And anyway, they looked around, couldn't see anything on the market that they wanted to buy. And the next thing I heard, we were going into this rented house, which really was a great, we were going downhill fast.
And literally,
it was a rented place, and what's more, it was in a terrace. And we went, anyway, I can remember going to see this terraced house, and it was two stories, but oh dear, it was dreadful. There was a little wee garden in the front, and there was a vegetable patch out the back, I think. And we lived there for about 18 months, I think.
Good.
To begin with, it was only going to be a matter of,
week.
A week or two. Mm. But nothing came on the market, and there was really a shortage of houses.
Mm.
And Dad was going to work one morning, and he heard some people talking. They'd come from, we got on the St. Clair car, you see, just outside. We heard this man saying about the house that Abernethys lived in Kew.
Mm-hmm.
So Kew was the part of Dunedin that they were keen to live in, which wasn't really very far from our rented abode. But Dad sort of thought, this might be interesting, so he put his ear out and he listened to these two talking. And